Allison Six Pack Hour with your hosts, Joe Bob and AJ Appleton.
Welcome to the Fantasy Six Pack Hour. My name is Joe Bond, founder of FantasySixPack.net. With me, as usual, AJ Epigarth. How's it going, man?
Oh, it's going. It's going great.
It's going. Is it? Are you sure? Great. You sound like it, man. You sound thrilled right now.
You know, I'm doing pretty well. Doing pretty well.
All right, man. So tonight we are going to be covering our outfield position preview. We've got a great guest in store for you, so we'll get him on here shortly. But before we do that, let's get to our business here and remind you guys, hit that subscribe button, hit those like buttons, hit the ratings, leave the comments. We appreciate it. Helps us out a lot. And then, guys, become an all-access member at Fantasy Six Pack. If you haven't caught the news, go to Fantasy Pros, by the way, and their Twitter. We've got three guys in the top 10 of the rankings from last season. Travis at number 10, I'm number 6, and then best of all, Keith Lott number 1, the most accurate rankings out there right now on our site. Three in the top 10, and we added Tim McCullough, who, if y'all aren't aware, he, for a brief period of time when he was doing rankings back in the day, was the number one ranked, number one most accurate ranker over like a 3-year span, like a few years ago. But he's now back into the rankings business and with us. So that's a pretty good crew when you consider all the hardware we've got there, I guess, if you want to call it that. So you're going to get access to our full rankings there. You're going to get access to the draft cheat sheets with which, if you ask, you know, anybody who's used them so far, they've all given glowing reviews. So I'm loving it. And then you got access to our Discord, which is free for anybody, but we've got some premium channels for you guys who are members. So go there, fantasysixpack.net/plans. Use promo code F6PMLB for 15% off, and that'll all be in the show notes. So if you didn't catch all the links and stuff, just go ahead and look there. And then
hashtag suck at Keith.
No, loving it. Loving it, man. Congratulations, dude. That was awesome. I had to do like a double take. I was like, wait, what? Yeah. You know, I saw my name and was like, all right, yeah, that's cool. 6. I wish I'd done better. Then I was like, wait a minute. Hey, that's Keith. Holy hell. So yeah, that was pretty awesome. He messaged me on Slack and was like, is this real or is this like a spoof account? What the hell is this? And I'm like, nope, that's real, dude. he couldn't believe it. I wouldn't believe it either, man. Like that's crazy. Finished very well over a lot of great, great people in the industry. So, huge congratulations to Keith there. So, but guys, you're running out of time. If you haven't created your league yet this year, or you know you're struggling with your league this year, time to move it to Fantrax. It is by far the best place to play, in my opinion. The most customizable leagues out there. The player pool is massive. So for those of you, especially in dynasty leagues, that is the place to be. I don't play any of my leagues that I host myself anywhere else. That's where they all go. How you can set it up, all the different variations, all the deeper player pool. And then I think AJ, you've said it a few times, like if there's somebody missing for some reason, you know, if you're in like a deep, deep dynasty league, yeah, and you need him at it,
reach out to him.
Just and be like, hey, this guy's missing.
Boom. I like this guy.
Like a day later.
He's not here. And they're like, you were saying, boom, he's already there.
Yeah. It's nuts. And so they're very responsive. They're good people over there. So I highly suggest you move your leagues over there. You can go to fantasysixpack.net or fantrax.com. I'm reading the notes at the bottom here of the ticker. Fantrax.com/fantasysixpack.
That's what you get for reading.
I know. Okay. The teleprompter, right?
I'm, okay, Ron Burgundy.
Right? I knew that was coming.
Hashtag suck it.
Anyway, Fantrax.com/fantasy6pack to create your free account today. So go ahead and do that. So before we bring our guest on, we got one more thing to do, and that is our beer of the week.
Beer.
Hey, Jay, what you got?
I'm drinking quite a fitting and quite possibly one of the best beer names of all time. Beer in the Headlights.
Nice. I like it.
This is a double IPA, 8.2 at Burley Oak Brewing, where nice. My beautiful wife decided to have a birthday party for me in Berlin, Maryland. Beautiful little town, lots of fun little shops. And of course, Burley Oak is there. So, yes. Yes. It is good.
Cool. All right. I am drinking a beer from Triple Crossing. It's called Green Dreams. Pretty fitting for a baseball show. Double IPA. I believe I gave this one a 4 on Untappd, 4 out of 5. So, very tasty IPA.
All right.
Cheers, and cheers. Let's get this show rolling. And without further ado, let's bring on our guest, Mr. Paul Sporer of Fangraphs. Happy to have you here, man. First time guest. It's been a long time coming. I always think to invite you on, and then I just don't get them.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. Thanks, guys. Yes. How's it going?
Good, very well. Man. Very well, man. Glad to have you aboard. Talk some outfield today.
Can you talk about it? It's a lot of fun. Oh, yeah. It's a fun position. A lot of great players there, but it's always deceptively deep because you see all the star talent. You're like, that's deep. But in most leagues, you need 5 or at least 3, and that really starts to drain that pool.
Yes. So jumping right into our first question, segue perfectly there. So we want to talk about a little strategy for all these positions. And, you know, of course, the strategy for every position is, go get the best guys. Well, you can't do that for everything, right? So what is your typical strategy heading into a draft for the outfield position? And let's maybe split this up a little bit because, right, in I think most leagues you're looking at 5 outfielders now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's different size leagues. So you get, you know, your kind of your 12-team leagues, which I think is a little more standard. Then you get your, like, 15-teamers, which is, like, your NFB style. So maybe break it down just slightly between those two different size leagues and how you attack the outfield position there.
Well, if I'm being honest, it doesn't change that much depending on the league. It's early and often in most formats for me with outfielders because, again, it is that deceptively deep position there. Everyone sees all the star talent and figures, oh, there's gonna be plenty there for me, and it starts to dry up because you also have multi-eligible guys that can be drafted for other spots too. Obviously in 3 outfielders you can go a little bit easier, so maybe not the often part of the early and often, but definitely still early. I still want to get a premium outfielder in the 3 outfielder situations, but in anything with 5, whether it's 12 team or 15 team, I'm drafting heavy there because that's where you're going to get so much of your production that I really think you got to be in on outfielders early. And I want to get those premium guys. And I'm a big sucker for power speed. So I'm going to be going after those monsters.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with it, yet I don't seem to ever follow it in my drafts, and I don't know why. I just keep telling myself, I'm going to draft outfield early. And it's never my strategy. And it always seems to burn me. So, I mean, I find ways, other ways, but outfield, it is deep, like you said. But, you know, these leagues where you have 5, I mean, people might grab 1-2 random positions or a position and a pitcher. And then it's just boom, 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 boom. And they just hit outfield.
Yep.
And then guys are gone. And it's like
they'll think like, and a lot of people that will wait will cite the guys that break out and say, well, I can get this guy. But you got to hit too. You have to hit. Like, of course, any position you can wait on if you have a almanac that from Back to the Future that tells you who the good guys are going to be.
Yep.
But otherwise, you need that production. And you also have to think about what your league mates are getting. So, yes, there are steady guys in the middle that you're interested in, but that should be for your depth, not for your starters. I don't care if you love you know, like a Brandon Nimmo, and I don't want to spoil all the guys that we're going to talk about, but like an Alex Verdugo or, you know, guys like that. But if they're your one and two or even your two and three, I think you're behind the eight ball. You need some of that premium production up front there. And for me, I got to get one of my top 10 to 12 at the position of outfield to feel safe with how I'm building my five-man outfields.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tend to lean outfield, like and it kind of burns me at some of the other positions, unfortunately. Like, I really want to hit second base early, but because I typically go after outfield like that, or because shortstop's deep, I then end up not getting one of the top shortstops. Like, just something else gives, and I don't like it.
I hear that,
but I
still think it's the right move, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can get so much five-category help from the outfield position for about 20 people deep, at least 20, 25 maybe people deep. Maybe not from everybody, but there is a general sense of, like, that's a core group of guys there that can give you multiple category help and production. And then once that falls off, then you're looking at, like, maybe three category guys. And then you drop to the two category guys, to where after the first, like, 5 second baseman, you're already there. So it's like, who cares at that point? So go get those five category guys.
And,
and in the fantasy six pack series draft, you know, I kind of shoot myself in the foot, it felt like, but I, you know, after hearing you say that, maybe I feel a little bit better. Like, I took Acuna, Robert, and Brian Reynolds. Like, I took Brian Reynolds because on the cheat sheet, he was the highest rated guy, and he had been for like a full round. And I was like,
and you
okay,
trusted your sheet.
But I needed shortstop, and I was like, well, there's like seven of them, so I'm gonna, hopefully I'll get one of them, right?
Yep,
I'll be fine.
All went before they I came back to me, and I was like, I got the very last one in Tim Anderson, but I had to reach like an extra, I reached like an extra, like 15 ADP points over, and I was just like, I can't let another, I can't let it pass anymore.
I still think that, you know, you want to be getting that outfield production, especially a position like second base. The after the top few guys, it's all the same.
Yeah, right? I just once I saw this, once Jimenez got drafted, and like that's like the sixth or fifth or sixth second baseman off the board, I was like, I'm out. I'm just going to let something fall to me at this point, because they all don't really matter.
I don't
we do have a question there. What was that? Let's put it back on the board, or just a comment here. Oscar Gonzalez, Kwan, and Colas, this league winning outfield.
I agree with some of those.
I'm a Kwan a little bit. At least he's like super average. He'll boost some steals. He's like that three category guy, right?
Yeah, he's the perfect,
so he's like the runs, the steals, and the average. After that, you're like
hard out on Oscar Gonzalez. I think he's
I don't
fall apart this
year. Don't draft me ADP players list. Only draft from your queue. I agree. So which is exactly I did. So all right. So let's jump in here to the next question, AJ. We'll
break it down. Go through some players here in
your paragraph question, AJ.
I wrote all of these, so you're welcome that I left yours short. I wrote 90% of them, and there was one that you wrote, so I'll give that to you. Anyway, first question here is about J-Rod, Mr. Julio Rodriguez. I mean, he's arguably a top five pick. Pretty much thanks to his ridiculous 2022 stat line. 84 runs, 28 homers, 75 ribbies, 25 stolen base. Oh, and his slash line was pretty good too. 284, 348, 509. He led all rookies with his OPS. Pretty much stood alone, winning Rookie of the Year for the AL. Received AL or all MLB second team honors, Silver Slugger. And he was a runner up in the Home Run Derby. So that's a pretty impressive way to start your rookie career. But does all of this early success scream of a sophomore slump to you? Or are you still just taking him pretty early in the first and have full confidence?
I do have full confidence in taking J-Rod in the first. I will do it. I haven't done it yet, mostly just because of where my picks are falling. I haven't really had the opportunity to get him. it does scream sophomore slump in that it's really hard to build upon this and be even better. Julio Rodriguez is somebody who could do it. But usually the sophomore slump isn't so much that they get worse. It's just that when they set a career high with their rookie year, there's nowhere to go but down a little bit. Probably going to happen, but there's so much wiggle room there with J-Rod that he can come down and still be a first-round pick. Don't forget, first-round pick doesn't have to deliver first-round value to be worth it. You're really drafting the floor with the upside to be one of the very best players. Like, that's the combination that you're drafting. So what's the worst that a healthy, you know, full J-Rod is? It's probably like a fourth or fifth round pick. And you wouldn't love that. That would be giving back a little something there on picking him at number two or number one, anywhere in the top five. But the chances of him being a firm first round pick or the top overall player are also a lot higher than most of the other guys. So I don't have him for any sort of major drop off. Growth isn't linear. You don't just keep going up. But his skills are such that I just don't really see a major fall. J-Rod looks like one of those generational talents. I'm in on him. I have no problem taking him as a high early first-round pick.
Yeah, I like him a lot. He's kind of like my 5'6 guy. Like, I debate between him and the Tuckers and stuff like that. But, Paul, real quick, if you don't mind, like, unplug your mic real quick from your computer and plug it back in, and then you're like, it's like staticky real bad. Mine used to do it all the time, so I don't know.
You don't want to be in association with Joe and anything, so
yeah,
ride
him hard and hang him up.
But I got this nice setup here with the boom arm, and I got a nice
not good enough.
It hasn't done it since I've had it, so shut up, guys. Anyway, no, I really do like him. He's a huge power speed guy here, and he's definitely an elite talent that you want at the top of the board to kind of set the stage for your team. That's a great start. That's why you see all these Turners, Acuñas, Ramirez's, stuff like that, you usually go super early, because they are like they're near elite at both home runs and steals, and so you it's a great way to start your draft. So I am on the clock here. So we like Webb or Lodolo? I feel like I'm just going starting pitching.
I'm going on the clock now too.
Oh, we got two picks. All right. I like it. Let's do Webb. Love it.
Okay.
AJ, all right, you got it.
What was happening with my mic, by the way?
It just sounds like it gets staticky, and then like I think what it is like loses connection real quick, and then all the sound catches up, so you sound like a chipmunk. It's hilarious. Okay. Mine used to do it all the time. Yeah, it's way better now.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you're perfect.
J-Rod's going 40-40 this year.
He could.
Acuña wants to do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
The kind of guys that can do it. And it's the thing is, like, they don't have to be worth the first round pick. But the fact that they can, and so few guys realistically can, that's why you take somebody like J-Rod.
Yeah. Cool.
All right. So,
all right, AJ, who you got? Let's get your pick out of the way, and then I'll rip off the next question here.
So, I started off, I'm in the 1-5. I started off with Trey Turner because I'm a Phillies fan. I went a little homer with that pick. Took Devers.
You can't go wrong playing homer on that one.
Well, exactly. I'm okay with it. And unlike Joe, I like to lock up shortstop. Just even as deep as it is, I'm afraid of that random run that's going to hit me. With shortstop, not with pitching, because that did next. But I still managed to get Woodruff as my SP1. Then followed up with the Rosarena and Springer. Then I got hit on the back end again of another pitching run and got saddled with Ray. So now I'm sitting here at the 7-5 looking at, and this is by ADP, a Diaz... Emmanuel Clase, I got Eloy, I got McKenzie, I got Reynolds, who I kind of like, I got Logan Webb. So all the like top closers are still here. I'm debating on actually.
So it's a saves holds league, remember? Okay, so that, it doesn't necessarily, that matters that a sense. Lot. That
make, yeah, okay. I don't care about those two.
What
guys.
Division
yeah.
did we figure out you were in?
I don't know if I did.
We totally did, but.
So with Webb available, that.
Butterfinger.
Webb's available. Paul, your mic's doing it again, by the way.
Starters, I got.
Shoot. I am good really sorry. Streamer. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Oh, no, don't be sorry.
It's good.
It ain't your fault.
Just keep reading the private chat. I'll type it in there if it happens during the show.
Oh, okay. Okay. Let me close some stuff.
So, for you, AJ, honestly.
I mean, I still need first and second base. I feel like at this point I'm waiting on them.
Well, Abreu's there. That's not bad.
Yeah.
I like Abreu. Second base, there's Jimenez a couple guys. There. You got speed. You got Turner. Rosarena, so you don't need speed. So I would say Jimenez would be a good second base, but you're kind of you're pretty solid on speed there. You got third.
Yeah, I do like Jimenez too.
I'm bullish on McKenzie this year. I don't know, Paul. What do you think?
Do you like McKenzie?
I'm torn because he's a body comp. We have the same build. He's a stick just like myself. In fact, his name is Dr. Sticks. He's 6'5", 165, which is what I'm toting. I do worry about Webb or Gilbert being able to hold up. The talent or Kirby. Is unquestioned for McKenzie. It's a matter of can he hold up for 6 months again? So I do like him.
I would say it's either Abreu or where are we going? Or if you want to take the chance of McKenzie is very highly rated for me, so it's a chance though, and you already got Ray and
yeah, I mean
he's like the best strikeout pitcher left on the board just about. So
yeah,
I do like McKenzie better than Ray. So you already have Ray.
I was pissed. I should have taken
Bliss. I did the same thing. I took it and I went.
I just saw his K number. I was like, oh, it's over 200.
I got to take him.
All right. Yeah, his K's are bananas. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
All right. Yeah, get your third pitcher. You'll be solid. You'll be
smart. All right. I'm going McKenzie.
All right. Let's keep moving on here. So, Robert Acuna is the next. Oh, here we go. Abreu's perfect DH. Crone. Yeah. Uncle Ted Talks. Loving the comments, man. So Robert Acuna, you know, comes into 2023,
you know,
a full year now and change removed from his ACL injury. You know, he kind of struggled a little bit last year, especially in the power department. Do we expect him to kind of bounce back to the pre-ACL injury Acuna where he was, you know, on pace for at least easily 30-30? You know, he wants that 40-40 range. Do we expect that to come back for him? He's being drafted that way. That's for sure.
Yeah, I do believe that Acuna is going to get back on track and get back to being like the power is going to come back. Like that's what's missing, right? It's the power. So the question really is, do you believe that the power is going to get back on track a full year plus removed from the injury? I say yes.
Yeah, I am hoping so. Like, what kind of numbers would you project for him?
I can tell you exactly what I would project. I got my projections right. up.
Yeah,
I am giving him 28-30 homers and steals with a .277 average, 106 runs, and 88 ribbies. Good for my second outfielder behind only Judge.
Judge, yep.
And good for my overall third player behind Judge and Ramirez.
Nice.
Hitter, I should say.
I like it. All right.
I'm on board with that.
Yeah, I finally got to share him in the Fantasy Six Pack series, and I was super happy. I know people wanted to take Otani. People were like, how did you not take Otani over him at number four? And I'm like, I don't like to have to make the decision on Otani.
It can be a pain in the butt.
In a daily league, like when he pitches, I got to make that decision. Like, no thanks, I'm good. I'll just let somebody else figure that out. AJ, you know that pain from last year.
Yeah,
man, I am on the clock in Raz Slam now. Ohope or Moreno is my second catcher.
Ohope.
Moreno.
Ohope,
yeah.
Sorry, I don't know why I said that.
I would go Moreno.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking, too. I feel like the catcher position after those two is really bad.
I actually
like him a lot, obviously.
Not to self-promote too much, but I wrote an article today, literally when this is being recorded on March 9th. Three breakout catchers and Ohapi and Moreno are in it, but I did put Moreno higher, so I will go for Moreno there between the two.
Nice.
Yeah, in a points league where average helps.
Yes.
I like Moreno. I will do it.
And I think he can take some walks.
And I like that prediction, Uncle Ted Talks. I love it because I did take him in Fantasy Six Pack Series.
If Robert can stay healthy, he certainly can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Give me a White Sox MVP. Hell yeah.
that means they were good, right?
By the way, I want to be clear. Moreno not walks. He doesn't strike out. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
But I don't want someone to look and be like, he had a 5% walk rate. What's this idiot talking about?
No, he can just hit.
But he doesn't strike out at all.
And super it's good hitter. So, alrighty, next question, so, man.
Going back to that beautiful home run derby, Mr. Juan Soto, who won it over Julio, obviously split time last year between Washington and San Diego. He did see his RBIs, his average, both kind of plummet a bit compared to his previous season's totals. I mean, what do you think happened there? And do you think he'll have a bounce back year this year?
Yeah, I think Juan Soto had some tough time transitioning over to San Diego. It is a worse park. Washington Nationals Park is kind of a sneaky, solid park. So I really think it was just the transition mid-year. I'm not too worried about it. We saw Josh Bell deal with the same. I think he'll be fine. I still think Juan Soto is one of the best players in the league. Still taking him as a first-round pick. All systems go for me with him.
Yeah. Okay. Joe?
Yeah, I'm back on board, and in fact, in an RT Sports Best Ball draft that I did, you know, which are kind of OPS-ish type of scoring, I had like, I think I had the third pick, and or no, I had the second pick, and I was like, Soto, click. Like, I believe in his bounce back that much, because, you know, in best ball leagues, you don't need steals, so I didn't care about the Acuñas and stuff like that at that point. I just want the masher at that point, and Soto fits that build. Like, he's just a good hitter, contact guy with power. You know, he's going to spread it around all the different fields, and he's just great. And I said the same thing last year in that format. It didn't quite work out as planned, but he's still that type of hitter. So I plugged him right back into that spot. So, you know, and another guy that struggled when they moved to San Diego was Machado. Yeah. I don't know if everybody remembers that first season with them too. Like, he was awful. Good. And, you know, as an Orioles fan, I was like, man, what happened?
Yeah, it's like.
And then it was like,
were we wrong on this guy?
So, all right. So let's jump down the rankings a little bit here. And Michael Harris II, you know, flirted with a 2020 campaign. Mm-hmm. You know, just 19 home runs, really close there. Only 114 games, super, super productive. You know, it's you kind of want to predict a 30-30 line, but that's tough for any player. So I don't think any projections are really saying 30-30, but I think the talent is there. You know, what's your thought on a Michael Harris floor for his power speed?
I'm a little nervous about Michael Harris. He's a bit of a fade for me there. I just think with the rough plate skills, they gave me some pause on his sky-high price. I do think we're paying full price for him. Mm-hmm. I understand why. Power speed guys, I'm a sucker for them. But I think I'm looking elsewhere with him, because I think I'm moving away from Michael Harris this year. I want to kind of see that second full year, see where he's at. I'm not paying the freight on Michael Harris. I love Money Mike. I'm rooting for him. This is one where I don't mind being wrong. But my head is telling my heart to relax, and my rankings have followed suit, and I've got him down relative to where the market is, so I won't have Harris in any leagues.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
By the way, just to be clear, with that being down on him, still have him as like a top 40 player.
Yeah, I'm at like, so it's not too bad. No, I'm right there with you. I've got him like,
I don't 36. Think he sucks, but he's being taken what, 25th or something. If that,
yeah, he's getting drafted quick. He went with a 4-1 in my fantasy six packs.
How many teams?
12
okay. Team that's actually not terrible. Yeah, to be honest. That's pick 37.
4-8. Well, we only start four.
No, that was a nice.
Okay, so that lowers get a
little
bit.
Decrease of value there.
But in the RotoWire Online Championship for this for March drafts 18 drafts, he's picked 27. On average.
Know your leagues.
Know your rules.
Know your rules. My co-host.
I'm an asshole.
I mean, you.
I know that rule.
I'm
glad you said it, not me, man.
No, I think you're just punking me in this league this year.
because I swear that I was the 1-4, and then by the time the draft started, I was like,
"You can go back and watch the video. I guarantee you, you weren't. I put exactly what was there."
Yeah, I'm sure you did. Okay, cool. And I'm sure it was doctored and edited and whatever.
But yeah, because I can video edit. I just can't read. Sure.
Maybe it was the day that I was having, you know, my dual contact issue. I don't know. Whatever. I digress. This is your fault too. So
isn't that usually what I say to you?
Probably.
Yeah.
Speaking of 30-30 guys, because Michael Harris II is clearly that guy. Cedric Mullins, he did accomplish this feat in 2021.
Which I don't have his
body. But he literally only reached half of that combo in 2022 because he only had 16 homers, so he didn't get it there. And he had, that's almost half of 30.
Good man.
And he had 34 stolen bases, so math is great. What should we make of him with this drop in power? And do you see his power returning, or is this really the Cedric that we should be expecting?
I think this is more or less the Cedric that we should be expecting. You know, I think the power drop was always going to be coming. I don't think it was just due to the new wall out there because he's a lefty and it really affects right-handers more. He probably lost a couple Oppo tacos due to it. But I just think that Cedric Mullins had a career year. And this is what I'm talking about with like Michael Harris and J-Rod. When you have a career year, it's really hard to go to build upon that. It usually come back down a bit. And he came back down to a level that I think is pretty reasonable. His 8% homer to fly ball rate cut in half from 16%. Maybe you park it in the middle somewhere and give him a few more homers, but I wouldn't bet on more than like 18, 19 homers. I really do think the kind of mid-teens home run total for Cedric Mullins with a ton of SBs is where he's going to be. So I look at 22 as a good guide. I've got a pretty solid projection for him. I like Cedric Mullins, but yeah, if anyone's betting on him going back to 30-30, I think you're misplacing your bets.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think the power was unexpected, and
yeah,
and that makes it the outlier.
Yeah,
I mean, nobody expected it, so it really shouldn't come back. I mean, if it does, great, but then he's going to be the next guy that's got an 80 game suspension. So I think where he's at there, I do feel like he might be able to get close to the 2020, but.
Well, he'll be like a 20-30 guy, especially with the new stolen base rules. He's going to run wild, well, I feel like. But
it could be like 14-40. You know, yeah, maybe the homers come down even more, but he pops 40 steals, and no one would be upset about that based on where Cedric Mullins is going.
Oh yeah,
I agree
exactly.
I will say that new outfield wall in Camden Yards, that is just robbery, dude. I went to a few games last year, and I'm like, you know, if you went off the bat, I was like, oh, that's gone. And I went, oh, the hell?
what just happened?
Short. It's like, oh, that would have been gone three years ago.
I think they went a little overboard with it, honestly. Like,
yeah, I don't like it.
It was just too much. They needed to do something. They really did. Because I mean, pitchers were just getting teed off on, and it just wasn't fun. Like nobody could produce here. How many pitchers have we seen leave Camden Yards?
Yeah,
Gausman
and get way better.
Even Bundy was good. Like after he left, it was like, geez.
You used to take any hitter from Baltimore and say, "I'll take them. I'll stream them in the summer, even if it's their number 8 hitter." Now you're doing that with the pitchers. Like people are probably back in on Kyle Gibson because he's going over there type deals. So, I think they went too far with it. It doesn't even look good either. It kind of looks janky.
Yeah, it's just like, man, somebody's going to hit that corner one day because it literally is a 90 degree angle at one point. It's just like, poof, someone's going to get killed out there.
It was a nice, like kind of angle.
It was just a normal like wall. It was just short.
It was fine.
Yeah. Oh man!
Even the groundskeepers are like, really? What the hell are we supposed to do with this? Like we can't. Your 0 degree turn mower still does not like.
Although
this.
we still got you know, Adley Rutschman, 500 plus slugging catcher, the only guy. The guy's got it. I get it. You know, just
yeah.
I think that's going to be tough to produce there in that ballpark, unfortunately. But
all right,
let's move on here to a couple of White Sox. And, you know, Eloy Jimenez, Luis Robert, both phenomenal talents, right? I mentioned Robert earlier because I drafted him. But when these guys are on the field, right, we know they are premier talents. They've just got to stay on the field. Knowing that they have this injury history, are you willing to take them at their, I mean, semi-reduced cost, I feel like? Because if we knew they could stay on the field, they wouldn't be going where they're going. But so it is a semi-reduced cost, but it's still pricey. Are you willing to take them where they are going, and which one do you prefer?
Huge on Eloy. Okay. So, yeah, I am taking him. I kind of have a theory, or not an adage, something I subscribe to. I'm not the only one. I didn't make this up. It's not special or anything. But when everything's in place except for the health, like when the skills are ironclad and all I need is health, I'm going to take those gambles because we just can't predict health that well. Yes, previous injury is a good indicator for future injury. That is definitely true, but that doesn't guarantee anything. Doesn't mean that guy will get hurt. So I'm going to take those gambles. And somebody like Eloy Jimenez, I think, is a 40 plus homer type hitter. Mm-hmm. If healthy, we haven't seen much health from him. I grant that, but I'm willing to take that shot. Robert, I have a few more questions about his skills than I do Eloy, but you can make the exact same case. And if he's your guy, then I say you jump in on him because it's the same kind of deal. You're just looking for the health. And if it comes through, watch out. You know, Luis Robert can go crazy. Yeah. But yeah, between the two, I'm big on Eloy. That's my guy. I've got him in probably way too many leagues at this point because you don't want to be too overexposed on somebody who's had such health issues. But I love what he did in 2019. I don't think it was a product of the rabbit ball. I believe in him as a true badass hitter, and I think he's going to have a wonderful season if he can stay healthy.
Yeah, I think the power is more there for Eloy. I like the combo of I like the power speed combo of Robert, right? So I know the voice from the sky. What? I like the power speed combo you can get from Robert, right? And so that, you know, and that's why I took him where I did, because I needed a little extra speed boost because I took Acuna and then kind of took a bunch of nobodies who couldn't steal anything, and I was like, oh well, crap, I need to take a chance. So
way to go.
If Robert's on the field, I mean we talking like 25-25 from him. I mean, that's pretty solid. So I'll take it.
I mean, I think the potential for that is there.
Eloy's like a 35-40 home run guy if it all goes right, though.
For sure.
So that's for real with him. Yeah, and I mean,
his power is legit. It's just a matter of him staying on the field.
For both of them, it's tough.
It is.
Are you willing to, like, So Paul, you've drafted Eloy in redraft leagues this year.
Yeah.
I saw he went 7-12 in this league. Now this is only a 4 outfielder league, so he probably goes slightly higher in your 5 outfielder leagues. But
7-12 is pick 84. That's kind of around where he's going, even in 5 outfielder leagues. So yeah, I'm 100% in. I've already, like I said, got him in multiple leagues. And the thing of it is, if a guy like this that I really believe in, I don't want to move away from them as I get into my bigger dollar leagues, which, you know, the main event's coming up. That's my biggest dollar league. So somebody like Eloy Jimenez, I kind of am looking at him. He's a pick 73 on average this month in the RotoWire Online Championship. That's 5 outfielder, 12 teams. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yep. So there, you got to take chances sometimes in those leagues, and you know, you got to hit on them. If not, you're going to lose. So
Dave, I get it. Dave was talking about it last week. Dave Eddy. I mean, it's like, you don't get in these leagues to just play. You get in these leagues thinking you're going to win them. Absolutely. And that's the kind of risks you need to take. If you want to win, you go after your guys because you have that confidence. You know that their risk is worth the reward.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Don't stop buying them when you get in.
Yeah.
You know, I talked to Justin Mason about this, my podcast co-host, and make fun of him sometimes because he'll get gun shy after a while when the market goes up on a guy that he likes, and then he'll stop taking them. And it's not always this way, but we tend to play our more expensive leagues later. you know, our bigger dollar ones. And it's like, well, I got this guy in all these other cheaper leagues, but I didn't get him in my biggest league. So then when he broke out, Cedric Mullins, which is what happened to Justin, he didn't have him in the leagues that mattered most. And I was like, you're a dum-dum.
Yeah. You should have stuck with what way. You wanted to do.
Yeah, that was the, exactly. That was the kind way to say it to him.
That was what he called him on our podcast. On theirs, probably different. No. anytime that happens, I love and will never let die the idea of being able to put Joe down and talk shit to him. But it's few and far between, doesn't unfortunately. So
it's mythical. Know,
what did I just
we,
say?
We
what,
know what you, gets AJ up in the morning.
You needed to chime in there? Really? You needed to chime in there? We haven't talked about you beating me enough, asshole.
Didn't you bring? You brought it up.
In fairness, you did bring it up.
You handed me the platter. I just took it.
I hate you guys. Yes, I brought it up to pat you on the back. You're welcome, Dick. Anyway, all right. In his first season in Philadelphia, a place that I hold near and dear, obviously, Mr. Kyle Schwarber became known as the Schwarb Bomb. And I'm sure he was called that in Chicago, whatever.
And Washington's
a smaller city. It doesn't matter as much.
Shots fired at Chicago.
Yeah. So, and I've been there. It's the Cubs. I've been. What? What?
What did you say? What?
You're lucky it's shots fired at the Cubs. And
yeah. The White Sox fan wasn't going to listen to that BS.
Yeah. I mean, I'm firing shots all over. AL, NL, I'm an equal opportunity shots firer. All right.
Shots firer.
Anyway.
Making up words too. It's cool.
The big, good. The big issue. I'm not making up words. I wrote firer dictionary.
All right? Oh, okay.
It's my middle name. Anyway. It's really not.
I have no idea what's going on anymore. So it's already. It's
2/3 of the Schwarb bombs were. He had 46 total. So 2/3 of that were with bases empty. That's a lot to do with the fact that he was a leadoff hitter last year, this and that. And he's very comfortable there. Obviously, he's productive there. But listening to Philly sports radio every day during the season, all they talked about was, well, you got to bump him back in the order. He's got to get, you know, the RBIs, this and that, blah, 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 blah. And I kind of agree. But with Trey Turner now in town, I mean, he's highly likely to take over the leadoff spot. It's already been talked about, at least on the radio. So
I would call it a lock, to be honest. Yes.
I mean, it's pretty stupid not to put him there. I mean, I think with that happening, it's obviously safe to assume Schwarber's run production, which he had 100 last year, will take a dip. But his RBI total now may bounce back up and offset that. So what do you expect out of the Schwarbaum in his second season with, obviously, still a potent lineup?
Yeah, I expect a fantastic season from Schwarber. I love him. I was big on him last year. I remain big on him. This dude just finds the best parks in the league and just continues to go to them. You know, Wrigley was pretty nice, although not as nice for lefties, but he didn't have any troubles there. Washington, Boston, now Philly. Love his choices. He's making great decisions out there. Yeah, it's going to be the easy, you know, math. Runs go down, RBIs go up. They'll kind of counterbalance and end up being pretty similarly great. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think he's going to swipe. What did he swipe? 10 last year. That was pretty cool. He was 10 for 11. That looks like something that's just going to stand out as a career high. I doubt even with the rule changes that he's going to go ahead and drop another 10 bomb. I put him down for 3, but give me big power production from Kyle Schwarber without a doubt. 40 homers. I got him for 91 runs, 106 ribbies, and a .234 average. And maybe with the shift changes, it can go even higher on the batting average.
Yeah.
I still gave him a pretty decent jump from .218 to .234, though.
But the nice thing with him is that he's very good at taking pitches, taking walks. He's got a great plate discipline.
Always on base.
So his OBP, if you're playing in that instead of average,
huge.
I mean, definitely shifts him up for value. Joe, what do you think of the Shore Bam?
I mean, a lot of what Paul said. You know, I think, you know, batting average leagues, you can maybe shy away a little bit, but it's hard to move away from that elite power that you just can count on. Like, we hope it comes from a bunch of guys that you can draft behind him, but you can kind of bank on, you know, near 40 for him, I would say, this year, if not over 40. And so you would hope that, you know, BABIP goes back up, you know, especially with the lack of shift. And so that's going to help his batting average, although it's going to help a little bit of everybody. So maybe just kind of, you know, kind of equals out. But yeah, I think he's a fine target, and he's kind of, for some reason, somebody I just kind of don't pay attention to in my draft rooms, I've noticed. And he gets drafted, and I'm like, oh crap, I probably should have looked at him.
I should have looked at that guy. Yeah.
I don't know
good.
Why. Like, it happens in every single draft of mine. I think I have the years where he, like, you know, that last year Chicago, where, like, it just kind of was like, nah, wasn't great. You know.
Finally dive in on the year that he's like, yeah,
he's going to pop. Yeah, he's gonna...
Of course, yeah.
Oh, wait, Joe drafted me? Noted. All right, I'm going to play like
that's
shit.
Pretty typical.
And
I can talk to a lot of guys about that. You know, look at my TGFBI teams from the past few years. Every single, like, top five pick was like, oh, I'm hurt in the first 2 weeks. Thanks. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
I'm out.
Because they care so much about your teams.
It's almost like they don't, which is very rude.
It is.
The
it
is. Tens of millions and billions of dollars they make.
They should care more about our fantasy teams. I agree.
They really should. I mean, what the hell are we even doing here?
They should be like Austin Eckler, sure, right? For football.
Yeah.
We're here. Be like, yeah.
Promoting
like,
you.
Draft me. Because I'm going to be awesome. Tell us. Tell us, guys.
I said we get Miles Sanders saying so we don't care about your fantasy team.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Oh, throwing shade at Philly.
What'd you
say?
AJ.
You say? I had to.
Love it.
You hit him.
Love it.
Listen, I understand the guys that don't care because some people are really aggro and crazy about it. Like, you hurt my team. I'd be like, what? I don't care. So I don't mind the players that kind of push back pretty hard. But it is cool, the ones who are like, oh, you know, I like when I do well for fantasy. And it's nice when people come up and say nice things.
Yeah.
But if you're ever the type of person that's going to go up to a player and blame him for anything or anything like that, you're a clown and you should punch yourself in the throat.
Absolutely. 100%. Yes. Probably do worse things than that.
Please videotape it.
You're nicer than me, Paul.
You could now become your own YouTube channel of dumbass debauchery because you deserve to be.
Yes. Yeah, do not ever slander a player, even tongue in cheek.
Tweet.
People get
them.
Too aggro
That's
with it.
Ridiculous.
Don't tweet them. It's embarrassing. It makes us all look bad. And then you put a bad name on the fantasy industry. So don't ruin our industry by actually getting mad at players because they didn't perform for you. Shut that up, man. They don't. That's not what they're there for.
I mean, getting mad that a guy didn't perform
especially
is one thing,
football,
but being mad at a player is different.
Yeah, you can be mad that he didn't come through because he's
like, oh, man,
player.
I only needed five, but I got three. Damn it.
And honestly,
all you do is get the shit beat out of you on every play when you're out on the field. And, yeah, that's still not good enough, man. Come on, bro.
Yeah, exactly. You're putting
your fantasy team lost because of that.
You're
last
getting early
fumble.
Onset. CTE and you don't have the decency to score me a touchdown. If anything, in football, you should be more mad at the coaches. Now, don't go talking trash to them either, but they're much bigger consideration for this than anybody
Those
else. Anyway, I didn't mean to derail.
No,
that's
what I'm
saying. Derail all the time, Paul. Fitting right
saying.
In.
Nope, that's a problem. Coaches, hey. I'll tell you what, coaches are the ones who call those plays and they F it up for everybody involved.
Like a bunch of jerks. I think we're staying in Philly with our next one, aren't we? I feel like
we are.
I know who
follow-up question.
Apparently, though, I have to
so
shout out a
money
few guys
do you
in
think
my
Jalen
Hurts
is getting this
in
year.
My Fantrax. I had to call out a few guys in my Fantrax league. I told them, like, guys, I didn't realize I was gonna get back up in 15 minutes, by the way, after 12 picks. If not more. And
nice.
Sorry, it's going to be like 20 minutes.
Time.
So just
this
give
is
me
the
a
time
second
where
guys.
Everyone's like, boop, boop.
It was like, holy hell, this was quick.
That's nice.
But Jonathan Merkel, he said, give me a shout out. So, Jonathan, if you're listening, man, thanks for playing in the Fantasy Six Pack Series League. And
Jonathan Merkel in the cut.
Yeah. So, all right. So, next up here, AJ.
Follow up question.
You wanted to have both of these, obviously.
So rude, Philly.
Sorry. Bryce Harper. Lots of things to take into account this year besides the rule changes, the pitching clock, all of that stuff. I mean, he's clearly coming off of injury. I mean, knowing that he's going to miss time early, we still don't know exactly what that means. That could be,
I think it's going to be about half the season
into May or into July. It's just all over the place. I mean, also in Fantrax, he's only utility eligible.
Yep. That's in NFBC as well. That's most spots.
It's also pretty brutal.
That hurts a lot. So knowing all these things, where are you even targeting this guy?
I'm not drafting him. Listen, I love Bryce Harper. One of my absolute favorite players. Been a fan of his from day one. You know, we're says blessed that fan.
Yeah,
I'm a Tigers fan, but I am wearing my Nats hat tonight. Okay. Yes. So yeah, Tigers are my team, but I got hats for tons.
You and Dave Eddie,
so
nice.
I just wanted to show off the Nats one here. This is actually my favorite hat have, and they don't wear it anymore. But I love Harper, and we're blessed in this generation that we've had two players in two different sports live up to the most amazing hype possible. There's no business that LeBron and Bryce Harper had living up to this obscene hype that we put on them and exceeding it in both cases, I would say. And so I've always loved him for that. He's great. That said, I just put that caveat out to say this isn't some Harper hate or anything, because I know a lot of people do hate him. I love him. Not drafting him this year, even in a league with IL spots. I'm not drafting him because the price is too high for somebody that's going to miss half the season. They're not going to rush him. You know, he's not going to rush himself. I think there's even the latest news as him saying, I'm not going to push it. I'm not going to go crazy with it. Yep. And, you know, they got Trey Turner. Unfortunately, the Trey Turner ad basically counters the Harper loss as opposed to ads on top of the team. Yeah. But they should be fine without him. You know, they would love to have him back ASAP, but I don't think they're going to push Harper. I'm not drafting him anywhere. Not this year.
I'm the same way. I'm trying to remember where he's gone in some of my drafts, but it's way too pricey for me. And I won't do it. Like, he's going in the 15th round in Raz Slam and
top 200 pick over at the NFBC.
It's like, man, that's
Josh Bell is going around there. Like, Josh Bell is going to play. Happen to like Cabrian Hayes. Not everyone does, but he goes.
No, I'm a fan.
I do like Hayes,
a guy that just got hurt today, but I do love. So if he's fine, then I love this guy. But if not, then I'll pass on him too. Harrison Bader, he goes around there, and I like him better. And it's just like I can't do it. I can't do it. I love Harper, but people are paying way too much for a guy that is going to miss half the season. So even with IL spots, I still think it's too risky of an investment to just park them on my IL.
Yeah. It's not quite as risky as it was taking Tatis last year.
Like, yeah.
People were still drafting him in the first round. I mean, I don't know who would do
it. They're doing it again this year.
Even now he's
I'm looking at myself in the mirror that's not behind me, but yes, that was me last year going, oh, I'm an idiot.
You're still an idiot because there's still no mirror behind you.
Aha! Yeah, thank you. That
was Zinger!
Oh my gosh. Anyway.
That's fire.
Yeah, so just out. Everything you said is pretty spot on, Paul. So I just, don't do it, guys. It's not worth it. You're going to find
unless
yourself.
You're in our leagues, then go ahead and take them.
Yeah, right. If you're in my division, have fun. Bye.
Yeah, But waste a pick on him if you're in our leagues, but otherwise, pass.
You mentioned the IL thing. Like, people go, oh, I'm going to stash him on my IL. You're going to need those spots.
That's
unless
the
you
thing.
Have infinite
unless
IL.
You have unlimited, then maybe I can get on board. Yeah. But even then,
most teams have like four.
It's exactly. You got two, three, four, five at most, and it's still a top 200 pick.
How many,
so, no, I'm just not doing it.
How many of your players are going to get hurt in the first 2 weeks?
So many. I mean, like, everyone's
guys dropping like flies in injuries. Spring training. Have we already
Rodon.
Seen?
Yeah, Rodon just got hurt. Like, I know. Bader tonight just got hurt. So, like,
Bader just got hurt? Not. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying I about him. That. Like, he's dealing with something right now, too. And so I adore him.
He's not even defining it. He's just like,
yeah, no, I mean, I'm not drafting him. He's actually in like a, he's in like a dynasty keeper league for me, so it's like he's a possible guy.
I oblique and... too. I hate obliques, and oblique has already ruined my guy Seiya Suzuki, a guy that I love this year, and he's already he's already been hit by that, so I'm kind of out on drafting
that
anymore
blows.
Of him.
Well, yeah, I mean, so that I hadn't obviously been reading the news, so prepping for the show. So all right, let's get to the next question, and this one's more fun. Corbin Carroll, the darling. You know, prospect. Yeah. He got his cup of coffee last season. Was pretty good. Not awesome, but was pretty good. This guy is getting drafted like he is Robert Acuna. Like, maybe he should be. Maybe he shouldn't
wait.
What's your thoughts?
Joe. You called him Robert again. You know it's Ronald, right?
Ronald. Sorry. Did I say Robert earlier?
Yes. Robert Acuna?
Yes.
Oh my god!
And it's
because
also on the
AJ typed Robert Acuna in the show notes.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's
you
on the
jerk.
Rundown. I wasn't sure.
I'm reading the teleprompter, AJ. That's on you.
On Burgundy.
Yeah, you Burgundy'd it.
Wait a minute.
You absolutely Burgundy'd
you
it.
Wrote Robert Acuna in the show sheet.
It was in the show notes, and then when you said it, I was like, maybe this
Corbin
is a show
Carroll.
Game.
What are you talking about?
Robert
no, for Acuna, for the one that we did
you
Acuna earlier.
Jerk. It is Ronald Acuna. I'm just reading it, so it's in my head now.
I love it.
Thank
love
you.
It.
I will anyway, take continue. Full accountability for
drink
that. That.
I love
me.
It.
I am so sorry.
It's the fantasy six pack. If you guys aren't making some errors due to drunkenness, then like we're doing it
that
wrong,
is,
right.
Pretty much. Yeah, you're spot on, man. Because, so anyway, right, Corbin Carroll, he's getting drafted. What
for taking the accountability of this? In my defense, I copy and pasted all of our question, like our names for the questions, into this sheet on the agenda page, and I was looking at Robert.
It just says Acuna.
No, Luis Robert and Acuna.
Luis,
and got...
No. It was Luis Robert and Eloy was the question that lined up with this cell. So I was like, Robert Acuna. It's like,
that's hilarious. I love
I
it.
I thought about it, though, too. I was like,
I love it.
This doesn't seem right. Now
it's
just Rocunia.
The first time I was like, okay, maybe it's a show me, but the second
there,
time I had
Rocunia.
No, you're good. I'm glad you called me.
I had to get
that,
in
that's,
there.
It's pretty bad. All right,
anyway,
so Corbin Carroll.
I love it, dude. I appreciate it.
He's being drafted.
Full accountability.
Anywhere, and up. I've seen him go as high as like outfield 12, you know, outfield 16, 18, not much lower than that. That's about where he goes. I don't know, man. Like, I have a tough time drafting a very – you know, a guy who hasn't proven it yet at that point in the draft, knowing sure. that they are very, very productive guys that you can count on going right around him. What's your thoughts on Carroll this season?
I shared a lot of your thoughts initially, but I'm a recent convert. And, you know, when I was doing my projections, it was a situation where I was like, what? Should it really be this high of a projection? Like, I am regressing the minor league numbers, and it's still coming out to put him at this high, crazy dollar value. And then talking with Eric Longenhagen, our lead prospect writer over at Fangraphs, he just kind of raved over him. And, you know, I know it's a bit of the appeal to authority fallacy, but I said, you know what? Okay, I'm in, because I love this guy, and I was just kind of protecting myself by lowering my projection artificially, but I'm in. I'm absolutely in. I think he can be one of these game changers here. The power, the speed, it's all there. Even if the power isn't, though, I think the speed could really carry Carroll to just a new height. Even if he hits like 14 homers, he could steal 40-plus bases. And so even if you're talking like 14-40 with a 275 average and solid runs ribbies, because I like the baby snakes, that's an obscene line. So again, I re-raised my projection on him. I'm in. I don't know if I'm going to get him, because I think as we get closer to the season, the draft price is even going to go higher.
Yep.
But I am interested. I took Bobby Witt in the fourth round of my main event last year. I set the new min on him at the time. I got some pushback. It panned out. Now, just because one thing panned out doesn't mean this will, but I'm not afraid to take guys that I believe in, even if they're rooks. I'm in on Carroll, I think I would take him as high as like the fourth, the same pick where I took Witt last year, the fourth round.
What are your projections? Because like the highest projections I see for him is like ATC and like Steamer, right around like 17 and 18, 17, 20 for him.
Only 20 homer or 20 steals.
Yeah.
See, that's the part that I'm
shocked to
get.
See the steals go. Yeah. Really
that, that's the part that I really don't get on the projections here. I see that they range from 17 to 20. No, that's too low for me. That's where I've really adjusted. I only have 16 homers, nothing too crazy there.
So that's right around the same.
Yeah. I have Carroll for 28 steals with a 270 average. I even kept the average in check in case lefties beat him up a little bit, but yeah, they have it at 250s. I don't, Where's that coming from?
Yeah, it does seem a little low. Because
I don't think he's going to strike out at a 27% clip. He did that last year in 115 plate appearances, Carroll did. But in the minors, he struck out much less. I think that's a small sample. I think he adjusts. I don't see it.
He walks more, too.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I think he walked like twice as much in the minors.
Exactly, and I think he gets closer to that, which is going to help the stolen base attempts as well. So even if I go lower on the average, you know, I'll jump closer to those numbers, and let me move it down real quick. Let me move him down to like a one. Let me lower these hits real quick. I'll move him down to a 255 average. I'll get more in line with where they have him, but I'll keep everything else the same. That still puts Corbin Carroll 20th at outfield for me. So I'm in on that. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to get him there because, again, you mentioned how high he's been going. That might not even be good enough, but I'm okay jumping him there. He's that 16th outfielder in the RotoWire Online Championships right now. He could go as low as 20th. That's actually his max right now is a 19th outfielder. But that's with a 255. I don't even believe that. I'm putting him back at my 270, and at the 270 mark, Corbin Carroll ends up being an absolute monster, and I have him as my 13th outfielder.
I have him as my outfield 20 right now, so I'm pretty bullish on him too. The projections don't agree, but like my like gut feeling pushes the ranking up. So you know that's how I start with rankings. I kind of do some projection based tallies, and then I throw people up or down based on kind of like. I don't know if I agree with that. So, yeah, I'm right there with you on Carroll. I haven't gotten him yet. I am a little gun shy on it just because.
I get it.
I mean, there are some leagues where in this fantasy six-pack league, he's been going like outfield 12, AJ, or yeah, you said he went outfield 15 for you. He was outfield 16 for me.
He went 16 in my division.
Yeah, it's pretty high. AJ, you're muted.
Shit, sorry.
I think it was like 15 and 16, so it sounds like Mike had the same thing. So it's pretty high up there. But let's jump in here to the next, just a group of guys here, and we got two questions here left with just a group of players. Just quick thoughts on just like the general group itself. So I know the Fantasy Six Pack series, different scoring to that, and so NFBC is kind of like the main like ADP that a lot of people use, and I get it, but we just, because this is the league we're doing right now, this is what we're using. So a bunch of outfielders are all going around the same range, and you know, they different strengths, different weaknesses overall, like the value for them, like if you were to put a score on them, pretty similar guys, right? We've got Teoscar Hernandez, we got George Springer, we got Brian Reynolds, we got Suzuki, of course, obliques for him, problem, Yelich, Adolis Garcia, we got Nimmos. That kind of range of guys, is there somebody in that range that you would pluck out and say he is far better, or like he's the guy I want, or you just kind of like maybe passing on this group in general?
I have some. Well, so I mentioned earlier, I was massive on Seiya Suzuki, like massive, massive, massive.
Yeah.
The oblique has scared me off completely. Yeah. So I'm going to take the shares I've got, hold those, and unless we get some good news on the oblique toward the end of the month, I'm not taking him in my big money leagues. It's a bummer too, because I love Seiya Suzuki. I was ready to go big crazy on him, plant my flag, et cetera, et cetera. So put that off to the side unless we get good news there. I'm a big Yelich fan. I think Yelich is kind of like back to Miami Yelich, which is like, it's not the MVP anymore. So people think, oh, he sucks, he's not good anymore. I don't really think he is. I think he's perfectly fine. I wonder if with some health, he gets back a little bit of some of that extra MVP juice. Again, not all the way back, but maybe starts running even more too. And he ran 22 times last year, got 19 stolen bases. So even just another 14-19 with a bit of a better batting average this year, which I think Christian Yelich can do, that's totally fine. I've got him as my 23rd outfielder. So he and Reynolds are the two I like the most of the group. Yes. I will say I'm fading Garcia and Teoscar. I think people, the market priced Adolis Garcia pretty fairly last year. I got to give him credit. They didn't overrate him. But then he went and overperformed, and everyone said, oh, we shouldn't have been so low on him. I'm moving him back up. I'm not doing it. I don't buy him. No. He's a bad hitter. I think he had a good season last year. I take the L, but I do not think he's going to do it again. I'm fading him, and I'm nervous on Teoscar going to Seattle. Worst team, worst park, bad plate skills, bad health track record, can't do it. And I'm fine on Springer. And Nimmo, like, they're not bad, they're not great. I would take them,
just
but I'm
health
not
for Springer, right?
Yeah, health stay for Springer, the field, and the fantasy juice for Nimmo's a little bit light. He gives you the runs, but that's also team dependent. So what else are you really getting? You're getting a handful of homers. So you're not really getting any steals. So you know that's where I'm at on Nimmo. He's fine though. I'm not moved by him one way or the other.
Yeah. It's funny when you mentioned Garcia and how like everybody was just completely off of him last year. And, and you know, I forget if it was Razzlam or TGFBI, like in our Slack channel for Fantasy Six Pack, a bunch of us were talking and like Garcia was there like time and time and time again. I'm like, I think it was TGFBI because I was light on steals. And I was like, Garcia's there. And everyone's like, no, he sucks. You can't hit. And I'm like,
that would have been
what
me telling
the
you
steals.
That.
But I get it. I was like, I get it. But man, we're like, I forget what round it was. It was late. He was late.
He was a late 100s, early 200s pick. Like, it was a good
eventually,
price.
Eventually, I was like,
yeah.
Eventually, I was like, screw you guys. Like, it went like three or four rounds like this. And eventually, I was like, screw you guys. I'm taking him. And I did. And I was like, ha. This
you won.
Year,
you
yeah,
took a big
this
win
year,
there.
I'm like, nah, we good.
No, yeah. Exactly.
I'm out.
You take your win, you pat yourself on the back, and you move out because
this
now
is like
it's full
I won
price.
At Vegas, and I'm getting my shit out of there. Like, you know, taking my winnings home. So,
you hit
yeah,
your
I'm
number on the roulette, not just red or black. You hit
I
the
am
exact
done
number,
with Garcia.
Not just
now,
the corner.
Yeah,
the number.
No. You didn't do the four pack in the middle there. You hit. You hit 28 or whatever your number.
Yeah, dude, it was
but
amazing.
Now,
that's my game.
I'm just sitting here like razzing. All right,
I'm in.
I'm just razzing on the guy. Like, and I've already called him out. I called him out last week, Dave Eddie. He was the one who was like adamant,
was
like, do not draft this guy. Whatever
week.
You let everybody else draft.
I would have
like,
backed Dave last year.
And I eventually really was just like,
yeah,
it went like four rounds past his ADP, and I'm like,
but this year
I desperately needed steals, so I did it.
Can't do it this year. If you won on him last year, congrats. You were smart for getting Adolis Garcia. But if you're going back to the well this year, I think you're putting yourself behind the eight ball. Yeah. I'll just say that. And maybe I'm wrong again. And if I am, I'll wear it. But I'm gonna bet against a hitter like that. And you know what? This is learning from a previous mistake. I was a huge Carlos Gomez fan. And for the good years, I didn't regret it. But then I would continue to rebuy and rebuy and rebuy. Mm-hmm. And then I caught the shit end of Carlos Gomez too. And I wore the negative seasons. That's going to happen to Adolis Garcia. So it might not be this year, but
I'm right there with you on Brian Reynolds. He is I feel like he's kind of underrated. He's kind of boring.
Yes. Like, and it's his team
but
also makes him
sucks. Yep. But he is the guy that, you know, again, in this fantasy six pack league, I snagged a third outfielder when you only have four in the first seven rounds because Brian Reynolds fell. And I'm like, thanks.
Yeah. No, I
bit the bullet on shortstop because of it, but I still got Tim Anderson. So I'm fine.
No,
just gotta hope he stays healthy.
I like Reynolds, and you know, there's the upshot that he gets traded because then he go to a better
I thought about
team.
That.
So it's like you don't need that to happen for him to be good. But if he does, and Brian Reynolds goes somewhere else, well, then you're even in better shape.
Yeah,
yeah,
100% agree. All right, AJ, all right. More question than our final one,
last main question. So speaking of the quote unquote. Just those types of guys. Who are some of the also quote unquote name players that you think will have the most impact
in their new lineups this season. So by that, we're looking at like a Benintendi going from KC, New York to Chicago.
That is one I like. So I will agree with him off the top.
You got Haniger going from Seattle to San Fran. You got a Jesse Winker going from Seattle to Milwaukee. Like these types of guys.
Absolutely. Well, you're singing my tune on a few of them there. I was so out on Winker last year. Couldn't have been more out, and it worked.
Yeah.
Take a little back pat there because, you know, I just didn't trust him leaving that park. It was really more about the park than it even was about the health, which we've known about the health. That's kind of built into the price. But now he's shifting back. He's not going all the way back to a park as good as Cincy, but Jesse Winker going to Milwaukee, I'm back in because the price has dipped on him. So sign me up there. I think that's a good place to be, and I like him. My biggest, like, kind of like sleeper guy this year that I'm all in on and getting him everywhere because I think the price is fair is Will Myers. Again, it goes back to the park. He's always been a positive hitter, right? When has he ever been bad? Injury is the only thing that's ever slowed Will Myers down. He has one sub-average season, and believe it or not, it was the rabbit ball year. When everyone else was hitting a million homers, he puts up a 97 WRC plus, 3% below league average. He had 18 homers, 16 steals. But every other year, he's over 100. Or except for sophomore campaign, sorry. He had a 76 that year. That was really bad. But that's 2014. Ever since then, if you go from 2015 since, Will Myers is a 111 WRC plus in San Diego. Going to Cincinnati, that has a chance to go up into the 120s. I think it could be this year's Brandon Drury with some speed, meaning he takes full advantage of Coors Light, a.k.a. Cincinnati, and just tears the cover off the ball. Remember the concept I said earlier with Eloy Jimenez? When everything is in place but the health, I'm going to bet on that guy. That's Will Myers. Everything is in place but the health, but I'm going to go ahead and bet on him. You mentioned Benintendi. I think he's just a quality player, another guy who needs health to come through, but I'm going to take the shot there. So I like him as well. I'm starting in deep, 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 deep leagues. I'm starting to warm up to David Peralta a little bit with the Dodgers because they're suggesting that he's going to get some playing time, which I understand because their outfield is not very good. And he's a quality hitter, but this is very deep leagues. I'm talking like 50-round draft and holds, NL only, things like that. But I do like David Peralta. And then one last one is Adam Duvall. I think he's going to play a ton with Boston. He's a bit boring. The batting average is going to suck. The OBP is going to suck even worse if you're in an OBP league. But the dude hits for power. And I think he's going to play every day.
He's just strong.
Yeah, he's got man strength. He's hit 30 homers three different times, including 38 just back in 2021. I think Adam Duvall plays every day. He's barely going to hit my body weight, but it could come with another 30-plus homers, bunch of runs, bunch of ribbies, and a handful of steals. So I like Adam Duvall in Boston as well.
Yeah. I definitely like Duvall. He's one I've been kind of like just sneaking down.
Yeah, because he's dirt cheap too. And I'm just absolutely dirt cheap.
I can just keep going and going and going. And before I get this guy, bam, all right, fine, I'm going to get this guy. And I get him every time because
I love it.
It's money, dude.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're not – that's the kind of like late round sleeper you're not finding in – any other position.
And you can't go broke on Duvall, right? He's picked 300 something. Like, what if he sucks? If he's just terrible and like the batting, bad batting, you drop him and move on, even in a 15 team league, like even in a deeper format, you just like, move on. Okay. So it's all upside with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the last question, which I think you answered a bunch of these already, but if you got a couple more, feel free to throw it in because it's like, we like to ask our guests their favorite late round targets, but it sounds like you threw a bunch of those in. But do you have any other ones?
Sure. I'm a big Oswaldo Cabrera fan. He's a super utility for New York. I think he's going to find his playing time. Switch hitter. Really, really like him. Edward Olivares, finally going to get his full slate of opportunity in Kansas City. I don't want to aggressively co-sign this guy. I might just take the plunge myself and not bring other people on the sinking ship with me, but I can't quit Trent Grisham. I've got a problem there. I'm still like him. Speaking of sinking ships that I might just advocate for myself and not tell everyone else to get on, not because I'm hogging him to myself, but because I don't know if it's going to work. I still love Dylan Carlson too, and I understand people are worried about the playing time.
Carlson's one of my Christmas.
I actually think Juan Yepes
is tricky though.
Could take the playing time dip more than Carlson though, and apparently he worked on his swing. We'll see, but I'm not quitting him. I still love Dylan Carlson, and then Leody Taveras in Texas. Power speed guy, has some issues as well, but he's going so late that it's kind of built into the price. He's going to get a full-time burn, plays good defense, so I do like Leody Taveras as well.
AJ, you got anybody? I got one if you want to take your time and look.
No, go ahead. And
let me take a guy that I can't quit, kind of helped me win a league a few years ago, and so it's kind of near and dear to my heart, Ramon Laureano. And
yes, you know, I like him
dealing
too.
With you know, some groin issues right now, but this guy is feels like he's been completely forgotten. He's a good player, man. He's little power, little speed, like
And another guy like Reynolds who could get traded out and get upside from that. Like, he doesn't need to be solid.
He should have been traded last year.
I know. Well, the only thing I
Well, because of the suspension and everything else. Well, he was hurt away.
Yeah. I mean, that's what burned him. But
they want him to rebuild his value, and he's not a free agent until after 2025. So Oakland does have some time there, so I'm not going to crush them for not trading him. But I agree, they need to start looking to moving him.
Soon. Another guy who I – cannot quit for whatever reason. He has like these spurts where it's just like, and I seem to grab him right at the beginning of him. Lane Thomas.
I like him too.
Nationals. He's another like sneaky power speed guy. You know, I draft, like, he had a strong finish of 2021.
Yep.
So I drafted him in 2022. He was horrible for the first like 4 months.
Same.
And then he like started coming on, and I picked him up, and I was like, see, this is what I thought I was getting. Yep. And
totally
now
agree.
I'm like, no, I'm all in again. Now you don't have to pay as much for him this year because people are off. But he's another guy that I'm just like, please just make it work.
Another guy I should mention, because he is going pretty late, even in 15 teamers, who I also adore. Same reasons as what I was saying about Will Myers. It's his teammate, Jake Fraley. Really loved him last year, and the injuries were the only thing that stopped him. If you look at what he did when he got back from the injury, he was the breakout dude that I was hoping for. It just wasn't a big enough sample. When he came back, he put up 53 games with 11 homers and 3 steals, .295 average. That pans out to 34-9 in a full season. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to be that, because you shouldn't extrapolate numbers like that. I'm just putting out what the pace was. That's how well he was hitting. I'm a sucker for guys in Coors Light, as I like to call it. I was calling it Coors Junior, and then a listener said, Coors Light, it's right there. The easy joke, just take it.
Yep.
So, Coors Light for Cincinnati.
God, we got Connor Tomer, Carlson, super cheap this year. Love that pick. So,
I'm sticking with him.
So, AJ, you got anybody, or just close it out?
I like it. I mean,
we've mentioned a lot of names.
I'm a sucker for Michael Brantley.
Yeah.
So,
he just keeps
it's like the
performing.
Brantley and fam.
He just never dies.
He just
doesn't
stop performing. I don't blame you.
I mean, other than that,
like the Frank Gore of baseball.
That's
he is.
Not quite as healthy though. Like
true.
You know, we'd have to think of an old guy who never gets hurt. But when Brantley plays, he's good. So I don't blame you. And batting average cheap is hard to find. So for the 400 plate appearances you're going to get, and it was only 277 last year, but I project him for about 400.
A couple quote unquote legacy picks out there with Tommy Pham going to the Mets. It's a really good lineup, which pains me to say. And then
the
former Philly,
want to admit.
Andrew McCutchen.
Yep.
Going back to where it all started in Pittsburgh.
Agreed.
This could be like the perfect swan song year for him.
Those are deep league.
They will
picks
be
too.
Picked up off the waiver wire at some point during the season.
Yeah,
guaranteed.
And in like 10
all,
and 12 team leagues,
them.
Both of those guys and Brantley, all three of them will be circulated around the league. You're right. They'll be picked up for 3 weeks here, and then the guys will, you know, someone will return from the IL. They'll cut them. Then somebody else will pick them up. Yep. Then somebody else will pick them up.
Yeah,
I agree with all three of those names.
That's
good call.
Like we have an award in one of my home-ish leagues where we have that guy, like, the most picked up free agent.
I love
that's
it.
That's just funny.
He's like the neighborhood bicycle.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's what the award is.
Everyone gets a ride there.
I like it.
Fair enough.
All right, Paul. So that is it for the show, man. Thank you for coming on the outfield position preview. It was great talking to you. Great meeting you. Before we let you go, though, let everybody know where they can find your stuff and what you got going on this season.
Well, thank you guys so much for having me on. It was great talking with y'all. You guys can find me on Twitter at Sporer. That's S-P-O-R-E-R. On Twitch as well, S-P-O-R, twitch.tv/Sporer. I play video games over there, MLB The Show and Out of the Park Baseball. You don't have to play either game to be interested. If you like talking baseball and yeah, if you're listening to this, you obviously do. Come on through, check it out. We're always talking baseball over there. I just put out my 3 breakout catchers today. I'm going to run through every position, which is 3 breakout players from every position. Got the rankings up right now. I'm still going to do my big starting pitcher piece. I don't know exactly. I should commit to a date, but I'm not going to. I'm going to say next week, though. I think it needs to be out next week to be have enough value for people. That's me, the old magnum opus with writing up damn near every pitcher, you know, several thousand words. So that'll be out next week.
Nice. Awesome stuff, man. Yeah, he writes I love reading your stuff, Paul, so
thank you.
Great to have you on the show. Yeah. It's been a long time coming. I feel bad not getting
no worries earlier, appreciate so, you having me on
but, all his fault it is he doesn't let me reach out to people.
Well, I'm glad it happened, right? Better late than never, as they say.
They wouldn't talk to AJ anyway. They'd be like, who's this guy? No, just kidding.
You're like, this I'll guy's a crazed fan. Let's
to you. Jump you on this show.
No, we're good. All right. Good night, Paul. So much, and Paul. We will do it again soon, man. See
Sounds you. Great. Take care, y'all. Bye.
All right. Night.
All right, AJ. That is it for the show. Next week, we are doing our pitcher preview with Alex Fast from MLB. You know, pitcher list, all that kind of good stuff. Great guy. He's been on the show before. Looking forward to having him back on. But, I think that's it for me. Anything else from you?
Nah.
All right. Peace out, everybody. Thanks for listening.